Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2015 and welcome to Page Radio. My name is Marielle Smith and I am your host and founder of Page Media. We bring together people who love to share information, education, and alternative perspectives to life. And it's a community and network where we get to explore what it means to live authentically and to dedicate our time and our expertise and our wisdom to our own personal and global evolution. And today we are so lucky and so privileged to have Michael O'Connor here, who is an astrologer of over 20 years. And he basically works with something called humanistic astrology, which involves a number of different approaches and is very person-centered based on free will. And he uses numerology and astrology and a number of different approaches, including his intuitive abilities. So we're so grateful to have him here to do an overview of what is coming in 2015. And there is a lot. So, Michael, welcome back to Page Radio.
Thank you, Marielle. Thank you so much.
Oh, so I know that we've discussed a little bit that 2015 is going to be a big one, you and I. And so bringing you onto the show is just going to be so great because I want to know more about what's happening on a few different perspectives. Let's start with the year 2015 and what that means numerology wise, because I know a lot of people don't know a lot about numerology and what its effects can be. So tell us a little bit more about what 2015 is going to be for us numerology wise.
It's going to be exciting and big because this is a universal 8 year, just simply by adding 2 + 1 + 5 and a zero in there in between. We get 8, and that year will produce a peak in the 9-year cycle. So it's one of the more basic aspects of numerology is to speak to of this 9-year cycle, but it's very fundamental as well. There's lots of 9-year cycles and 9-month cycles, and there's a lot of layers that kind of do repeats of sorts. But when we talk about the 9-year universal cycle, just basically adding once again the year numbers, and 8 is like the harvest. It's, I call it the playoffs year. It's like the exams. It's when everything comes to a peak, to a head. This is what it's all been about for the 8 years, the 7 years in effect leading up to it. And it says, okay, now it's what we've been building for, and here we go. And
So all of the sort of challenges, chaos, and tumultuousness that I've experienced with my coaching clients and my friendships, and a lot of people around me have had very, very challenging, really, in the last 3 or 4 years. Does this mean that for this 8 year, like you said, we're coming to harvest? Is it going to smooth out a little bit?
Well, you know, an 8 year is not a good year to look for that too much.
Not
it's
yet.
It's kind of a good time to get your second and third wind if you need to be ready, because this is where it goes to the deeper level. During the course of this year, and I'll get into this more with other planetary aspects, this will be a culminating year for what has been the meeting of Uranus and Pluto, which has been brewing for a couple of years already in terms of making hard aspects. That's a very revolutionary energy. So I'm going to dovetail that in real quick here, because that one is linked to very much the balancing act process of male-female equality in the world. And that conjunction of those two planets, Uranus and Pluto, began back in 1965. I've been writing quite a bit about this, but in my newsletters and horoscopes, so people can go back to those. But I'll also be writing about it more this year. We look to the root of an event, like in a conjunction of Uranus and Pluto. Okay, back in 1965, and sure enough, there was all the women's lib marching and all that. And it would have taken a visionary perspective to realize, oh, that's just the seed event for what will unfold. Now, what we've been experiencing with Uranus square Pluto is the first 90-degree turn. It's almost like you can take a cycle and make a square over it, and you come to, the beginning point, then you come to the first point of the square, and then you take a 90 and you go to the opposite. Yeah. So we're at the first one. So there's a long way to go still. In fact, the next Uranus Pluto conjunction is in 2104. So we really have this century for that to occur, and I have every confidence it will. It's sort of what we could call a mandate of destiny. However, it's always necessary that we engage consciously, and that's where life more or less not just invites us, it pushes and prods us to engage, to rise to the occasion, to answer the call, to fulfill our destiny, to participate in the next effective stage of evolution.
So, sort of in, I guess in layman's terms, it means that we are being asked to go deeper into being conscious of our actions, conscious of what's happening in our environment, the impact that we have in the world and in our relationships, things like just becoming much more aware of who we are and what's happening in our own circle that impacts the rest of the world.
You could say that in a very basic way. It's very yin yang, male female within, where women are laying claim to their personal power, their assertiveness, their sense of destiny and reality of whether they're a leader or it's breaking the old molds, the old roles where women are more submissive and men more dominant, etc. It's never really meant to be like that. It's who knows why and how exactly, but it's relatively artificial.
So bringing, okay, so now I'm starting to understand a little bit better. The bringing the masculine and feminine back into balance instead
Yes.
of just thinking, okay, I'm a woman, it's
Yes.
more like what energies am I utilizing that are action oriented and spontaneous? Moon and sun, the balance of the two energies is what
Yes.
I'm looking to be more aware of then.
You could say it just like that. And for men, it's about being more in touch with their feelings and emotions and vulnerability and realizing that the imbalance costs us all. Men have to kind of feign a certain macho kind of invulnerability. Women have to be excessively vulnerable on the, flip side. And both are problematic and troublesome both for the individuals and society. I mean, some people are like men, very masculine, and some women are very feminine. That's generally fine. But as a societal theme, we want to support and nurture and give, room for opportunity for the growth of the balance to occur.
For both men and women.
Yes, because men are allowed to then feel, and feel is so important, and women can assert. And it's not certainly about changing hands where women become aggressive and men become, weak. That would be equally, if not worse, equally problematic. So in essence, this Uranus Pluto square has, sure enough, in effect, been agitating a lot of awareness.
For sure.
And it's interesting, there's nine as squares that they create because Uranus and Pluto are far planets from the standpoint of the Earth. They appear to go backwards and forwards. It's a retrograde process. It's a one could deem it an optical illusion. However, it's more of a reality from the standpoint of the Earth's perspective. The planets don't strictly literally go backwards, but they appear to, and that apparent re retrograde, planet moves forward, it stops, it moves backward because of how it relates to the Earth. But it's all part of the game that produces very powerful effects. So whatever else might be said. So all of which is to say that the first of the nine and started in the summer of 2011. That's when 911. No, excuse me. That's when the 1% sort of we are the 99% rallies. Remember? the 99 versus 1%, and it created a presence of mind to the world that, hey, there's a lot of people awake. Although it was sort of quietly dismissed over the coming months, which maybe perhaps was a good thing, but it sent a message, and that was good. And then the last one, I'll just say quickly, will happen in early 2016. So over the course of 2015, we're going to have the last two, and the early January 2016, we're going to have the last two exact of seven. Okay, so there's nine in all, seven are exact, two were very, very close. The first very close one, which is what we call very close proximity, started in August 2011. The last one will be January 2016. So 2015 shows the two last exact of the seven, and that usually brings resolution. In the simplest way I can say it, when we look out in society, what we've been watching is the fall of icons, well, Bill Cosby in the United States and John Gomeshi here with this, sexual abuse
Yes.
energy. Well, that's coming out even more. We're going to see more of that momentum because what's happened, and this is in a lot of respects, thanks to the women having the courage one after another to come forward.
Yeah.
And so the first woman who did that, she almost deserves a badge of honor. But there's been other case studies and stories, but they're not getting as much press.
Yeah.
Okay. So when, as these women have and are now coming forward to report these, sexual crimes, and which are really highly indicative of the imbalance
Yes.
above and beyond other things, whatever else, moralities, etc., which are important too, but it all represents an attitude, etc. So in them coming forward, so it's contributes to one of the many fronts that are going on out there, which are the Aquarian Revolution.
Right.
Yeah, the Aquarian Revolution is this awakening. We need to wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. What
Yeah.
are we waking up to? And basically, we could say to the many human issues, very human. What does it mean to be a human being theme? And it basically comes down to dignity, balance, rights and freedoms, certainly, and a host of many other principles we could mention. But basically, it's saying, golden rule, what do we all generally want? Right? We want to feel safe. We want to feel happy. We want to feel that there's opportunity to grow. We want to just nurture a creative, wholesome life.
Yeah, to belong, to have community. Yeah.
Yes, all of the above, and we can go on with that. But basically, these things have been blocked due to power structures and very much pyramidal.
Yes.
So if you were to, draw an image for what Aquarius represents, it's very much the round table. And where there's but where contrary to the traditional picture, where there's men and women at the table.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
very much like the zodiac, equally.
Right.
If there's going to be 12, there's going to be six men and six women. And
Right.
that's a beautiful consideration, nice model. So we're there, and it's really exciting and it's big, where we're about to confront the next, and in fact, the peak of that. So we should expect. And by the way, I was just reading in the news this morning where a woman in England has come forward and is pressing charges against one of the royal Prince Andrew, and claiming that she was as a youth about at the age of 14 subject to pedophilia. Oh. Pedophilia is rampant in the world. It's rampant, especially in the higher echelons of power. It's riddled through the church. It's riddled through higher echelons of power. And the reasons are, I won't go into it in terms,
No, yeah.
they're not pretty at all.
No.
Since the reasons are very dark, it's considered to be a branch of Satanism. Now, I don't want to make this all dark, but I just want you to know that that's a very, very important event. It couldn't be more important and timely because there's a lot of. It's the old 99%, right?
Right.
Versus the 1%. The 1% do, in fact, constitute the old guard of elite.
Yeah.
And the elite are holding humanity over the barrel and in ways and for reasons and with agendas that are not pretty at all. They are not pretty at all. And that's why, you know, what's wrong with humanity, people are thinking, right? And it's not that people, you know, if we were to look back, one might diagnose humanity as being psychopathic, like we're insane. But you look and talk to people, and people aren't insane. People generally, okay, they're going through their stuff, nobody's perfect. But basically, you know, people are good and doing their best and struggling, right?
With what they
But it's
know
not,
and what they have, and
yeah, it's not just that life is an endless torment of struggle endlessly necessarily. It's that there's forces at work, whether they're, you call them greed, monopolizing, manipulating, coercive, you know, like we just look at our government dismantling every social program that's been put in place over 40 years. And it goes on and on, all right? Now, the point is there's a war going on in the world. World War III is already happening, but it's a silent war. It's an information war, by the way. And fortunately, we have the internet. Fortunately, like crazy, we have the internet because with it, the true voice of the people has at least an opportunity to come forward because all media is privately owned. You know, most mainstream media, you see. So there's massive censorship. Whoever owns the media owns the masses. But nobody was really, when that Marshall McLuhan statement was made, wasn't really aware fully yet that the internet was to be born.
Right.
And here we are. So this is a very, very big and important theme, and it's all representing the peak of what the 8 year will be. So while people individually go through their trials and tribulations and their karmas and their, you know, their turning points, and that is life, admittedly, even in a heyday where things were great, people would still be going through their death and rebirth process. Like life is very much like that.
Yeah.
We come to a certain peak in a certain of a set of experiences, and says you know, by nature, call it a soul thing. Says, okay, that's done, wonderful, great. Now it's over, and let's go to the next thing. So there's two difficult, you know, point. No, there's three difficult points in any process: the beginning, where you have to get going; the peak, where you're at the top; and the end, where you have to say goodbye. You see. So in any case, 2015 will bring definitely the next level of drama, but in the most positive sense. And this has been showing up in a lot of the different charts, a lot of the different astrology charts I've been looking at. It's the rise of heroes now. There's new heroes coming. You know, quite frankly, it's not like they're just coming. They've been here. And every person right now who's making any amount of contribution, like you with your radio show, you know, I'm going to speak for myself with my astrology. It's not, you know, and I know, it's not just advertising. It's not just business.
We're in service.
We're in service. We
Yeah.
want to inspire. We want to awaken. We want to educate, inform, anything to help people awaken to their own sense of contribution, which ironically is a gift we give ourselves. In other words, when we feel meaningful and purposeful, our life takes on a quality that nothing else quite can. There's nothing quite like it. Nothing else can quite replace that feeling. Now, one can do that with their own family, of course. It needn't necessarily have a social public broadcast as such. However, we are at a time where the awakening needs and wants to occur. So just people having good conversations in their circles is good.
And it does, my understanding too is that everything that we do at this point affects the collective consciousness. And so those conversations may be meaningful just in our own circle. However, it does affect the energy and the rise of vibration for everybody on the planet. Those heroes that step forward, the people that are in service, everything that we do. To stay in the gratitude, to stay in being in service and just wanting to help others and ourselves, taking actions for ourselves as well, affects everything, no matter what, because we're all connected. So I think that's something that, for me anyways, has been a very big piece in my journey this past year to 2 years, you know, yes, it was very personal, and some of the drama was very personal. However, wow. I've had people say to me, you know, what you went through and what you shared about what you went through has helped me. And so I think it's great for all of us to be aware of that, that the fact that everything that we do is going to affect the collective for sure.
Exactly. That's always there. And that's a part of the awakening, is that invariably we are one in consciousness, even despite differences of perception and intellect and everything. There's this one consciousness living through us all. And it's a bit of a paradox that we can talk about our own soul, shall we call it. But, you know, a good metaphor there is that each soul is like a droplet in the ocean. And it may, you know, has both a particle principle and a wave. We're part of that whole.
Right.
So, and that's very Aquarian too.
Okay, so Michael, so with all of that said, I know that in the great weekly and yearly horoscopes that you do in your new moon newsletter, you've also been talking about Saturn entering Sagittarius, which happened on the 23rd of December. Yes. And tell us what it means. What is this transit going to mean? What can we expect from it? I know some people are very into and understand astrology, and others just go, oh, okay, it entered Sagittarius. What does that mean for me? So let's, can we take a look at that?
Yes, everything has a lot of levels to it, and that's where it makes it difficult to answer it in a pointed way. Mm-hmm. Saturn in Sagittarius basically is a period of time where the themes of truth will emerge. Saturn says, okay, it's time to do this work now. It's a taskmaster principle, Saturn. So whatever sign it enters into, the themes of that sign are accented. That's true of any planet in any sign. But Saturn's very significant in that it is, among all the planets, the taskmaster. And this is, it says, well, it's time to roll up your sleeve and get to work here. And Jupiter is itself, there's two social planets, Saturn and Jupiter. Jupiter plays a role here as well. I just want to say that quickly, because it so happens when Saturn is in Sagittarius, it is ruled by Jupiter.
Okay.
So we've entered a period where the two social planets are going to be operative, and they're going to come to some various peaks over the next few years, admittedly, but we're going to see the beginning, the foundation of it occur in 2015. And what it's going to do is produce, especially towards the end of the year, a good deal more conversation. Like there's a lot of people quite awake, and they're doing a pretty good job of awakening a lot more people. That's happening on alternative media, it's happening on the internet, it's just out there now, okay? And even on mainstream media, when, you know, sort of cases like with John Gomeshi and so forth, that gets everybody talking, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what's going to happen is that with Saturn in Sag and the themes of higher truth and principles and ethics, all of these themes will gain much more ground. I'm saying towards the end of the year more so because two reasons. Jupiter will enter Virgo in August 11th to be exact, and the North Node, it's called the Lunar Nodes, will also, the North Node specifically is like the tip of the arrow, shall we say, where the South would be like the feathers. Mm-hmm. Okay, the tip of the arrow will go into Virgo as well. That's really interesting. So that means that over the course of the months at the last quarter of this year, there'll be a good deal more communication and discussion, and where a lot of people are talking, not as many are talking yet about certain issues, but I have a strong feeling that the fragmented sort of variety of fronts, what people are talking about, this and that and the other thing, that it'll kind of coalesce into more, everybody's increasingly going to be on the same page.
So you said that Saturn and Jupiter are social planets, so which means that the conversations will become more
prevalent on the social radar.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we're still dealing, in life, there's always many fronts. There's many circles, there's many conversations, there's many interests, some people are rather quite asleep. They don't really wired or interested, focused or awake to really care about much other than their sort of small circle, shall we say. We're at a time in history where we can't really afford that anymore as much. We may be able to return back to it, perhaps, but the world's in crisis on every front, practically, economically, and environmentally, socially,
Ethically.
ethically. Yeah, there's things happening, and sometimes irreverent behavior has to be, maybe has to occur. It's hard to say, but it has to break down the old walls, the old morals. And so it's not always pretty,
No.
but we're dealing with everything from, addiction and massive addiction, vaccinations that aren't necessary in babies, GMO crops. It's ugly, and the list is long. And so it's not a great, cheery conversation. But this is not a time, I think, to be excessively complacent and seeking shelter from the storm too much. There's times when it says, hey, there's a storm, and it's not a moment where everybody should be huddled in the bait in a below deck.
Well, and you also said that Saturn is a taskmaster, so it's basically going to be help, it's going to help move us towards taking action versus being complacent.
It's going to push us and challenge us to be more in the know, exactly, in the know. Sagittarius is the sign of journalism. And in higher education, philosophy, and invariably we can speak of truth and debate. So Sagittarius brings forward, let's talk about what's true and what constitutes principles and what constitutes, in the highest sense, a deep sense of unity. So
That's
it's
very
very,
interesting.
yeah, it's very much together we stand, divided we fall, Sagittarius. It's one for all and all for one, is also a theme, a phrase that could be attributed to both Aquarius and Sagittarius, admittedly, that last statement. But yes, it'll be very much about what's true, what's ethical, what's of principles, what can we all, as much as we can, say, agree upon, and how can we live and let live, like have mutual respect for one another's beliefs, even though we don't agree with them necessarily, without having to resort to violence and all that, which people often can and will do. It's only, where fear and power mongering and manipulation by higher powers, even like religions are used by powerful interests. People weren't driven and manipulated by the ambitions and interests of higher people in higher positions, then it wouldn't be the same as we're seeing. This is where you get this. Well, it's not fair to kind of pick on, let's say, pyramids, in terms of their grandeur and beauty and incredible genius of what they are, right? But as a model principle, we get this sort of pinnacle point. So there's,
The top and
the notion of the somebody sitting in the kingpin position, which may be fine with, let's say, bees having a queen bee, but it's not really the human way. We're really meant to cooperate.
it's more about the round table
Yes.
instead. The circle, the medicine wheel, all of these great metaphors of the roundness and the equality of everybody. And I just find it interesting what you just mentioned about talking and conversations of people coming to the same page, because there were a number of, I would say, blow-ups in conversations in families and in relationships. Just people, I thought they were misunderstandings or miscommunications, but now I'm starting to realize that since December 23rd, it's actually these conversations are being brought to the surface to be had to help other people see the perspectives of another person and for people to be standing in their own truth. So I'm fascinated about what you just said, because it's just something that I've seen occurring since Christmas. So
right.
A very interesting piece. So is there anything else major that we need to know about that transit, or can we go to my next question for you?
I'll just briefly conclude here that there's meaning and purpose in everything. And, you know, that's certainly an attitude of gratitude, that we accept that life has its yin and its yang, its light and its dark, we could say. We don't want to get too much into gender thinking there. It's just that ups and downs, right? And even in an idyllic period of history, for example, there still remains that element. Now, and there's also personal cycles and more general cycles, generic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really say easily exactly what's going on there. But in context to the larger social sphere of what's going on, yes, there is, in a healthiest way, one can say, an agitation.
Okay.
In the shorter term, Jupiter is in Leo and Saturn is in Sagittarius, and those are both fire signs.
Ah.
Uh-huh. That's important. Yeah, because the element of fire is everything from enthusiasm and inspiration in the positive, but also friction. Fire is, you know, it burns, right? So it burns with the passion and a zeal of a sort that can, once again, be everything you want in an enthusiastic sense. But also it can have a friction element, and it can be, you know, rather scathing. So it's hard to say strictly, and I don't think it's accurate to make blanket statements. And, you know, we only have so much time, so we're trying to summarize. But what happens is, because of the whole dynamic of all the planets, while Jupiter and is in Leo and Saturn in Sag, over this period of time until August 11th, to be exact, the small planets come to play, and where they create little squares and
yeah. You know,
more challenging aspects, it triggers and agitates those two energies. So it's like you can almost use an example of a fire which will blaze brightly, then kind of go down to embers, and then something will come along and throw on new fuel, blaze up again, and in what various ways it will be interesting and definitely not boring. And one can look at those as, in the most positive sense, as play, well, not necessarily just, there's playfulness to it, there's a sense of excitement, but also, once again, Leo, Jupiter's in Leo, is the sign of the hero. So when heroism comes forward, you know, it's very, if you think of Leo that way, in as positive way as you can, above what people might think,
yeah.
Sometimes, Leo is heroic. It's and so too, in many ways, are all the fire signs. They represent courage. So it's the principle of heroism and courage, and the fire of determination to kind of step forward and away from what one might call their security. It's brass and brazen and bold and, you know, everything like that. So basically speaking, we should expect and look forward to that in as positive a way as we can, and recognize that it won't be kind of a pallid sort of energy. It will be very bright and fiery and exciting and brazen.
Okay. I think we get
so
it.
So that'd be wonderful in the right attitude. But anybody who's excessively in their comfort zone could get a little stirred out of it and
right.
Feel, you know, upset. But, you know, they might get looked upon as, hello, wake up. This is necessary, you know, and we see that in movies sometimes where, you know, the leaders and the heroes are trying to get the people to wake up, realize this is upon our doorstep. We must do something. And others are, oh, we just don't want that. There's casualties that occur. And the answer is, yeah, you're right. There are. But this is the price we pay for our freedom and our, you know, democracy, because tyranny is ever there.
Right.
You know, ever present. It's kind of part of the game of life, I guess. So, yeah, that's bringing that Jupiter-Saturn, you know, fire principle, you know, full circle there. And I'll be talking about it over the course of the year in my horoscopes and newsletters.
Okay. So let's, I have a few more questions. So let's move to the lunar eclipses. I understand that there are there were two in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? And then there's two more coming, which is very rare to have that many close together. Tell us a little bit about what that, I guess, what that means going forward for us. And maybe a little bit about what 2014 brought to us, but what is it going to do in general terms for us in the coming year?
Okay, so eclipses are common scenarios in life. There's lunar and solar eclipses, but this particular series of lunar eclipses are total lunar eclipses. And it so happens they're occurring on like Jewish holy days. That's one of the synchronicities. And in Hebrew tradition, in the Jewish tradition, they were very astrological. So they didn't choose their holy days, etc., haphazardly. Almost everything was astrological. The reason that is, that's been, you know, people look at that suspiciously, at astrology and religion and secret societies and all this. But it's like, no. They weren't trying to do something badly. Maybe some people have, you know, manipulated that. But in the most positive sense, it was always an endeavor to be in communion with nature. And to higher realities, okay? So astrology's always been around. Really, astrology's the first science and the first religion. So in higher religions, if you go in there, you'll always see this celebration of being in harmony and in tune with the celestial realms.
Right, right.
And they mean that specifically, not just romantically, you know, and they get right down to the science, the mathematics, the calendars, if you like. So now when we have these, so again, according to the particular ways that our as astronomical, our celestial reality works, we have these eclipses, and they're solar and lunar sometimes. So this particular four lunar eclipses in a row, they're calling it a tetrad, you know, four, occur on these very specific dates. And this is something that's quite rare, won't happen for a long time to come. And so it's been, you know, some observations have been cast upon it to say, you know, what does that seem to be coinciding or synchronizing with? And sure enough, last summer, it really coincided strongly with, you know, everything from the rise of ISIS to the bombing in Gaza. So it was serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's always important to remember that nothing is ever entirely in isolation. So even though these eclipses occurred, and these lunar eclipses, they have to be seen as all a part of a larger reality. And we've been talking a little bit about it. That's why we started with the big picture with Uranus-Pluto, for example. But mostly that there will be two more. So there was two last year, and there will be two more, one in April, one in September of 2015. And they will complete the cycle. And I would well imagine they will coincide with activations of a certain process that's going on. Because it's interesting that it so happens they occur on these Jewish holy days, okay, that a lot of the energy got stirred in Israel. And around the focus, you know, whether it's the Middle East generally, but whenever we can think of the Middle East, you know, it's not uncommon, at least, to think about, you know, the fact that there's all these various, for lack of better words, I don't think it's entirely accurate, Arab states and nations, and then there's Israel, right? And it's just this hotbed, of course, of conflict that's an old story now for all of us, all our lives, we've been dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, because, you know, not to mention the fact that a good deal of the oil comes from there. And this is where we start to see some dots getting connected, that there's a, you know, now with the oil prices drop, we're in sort of an economic warfare. What's that all about?
Mm-hmm.
And some people are having different opinions. Some say it's linked to, you know, Western nations curbing the powers of Eastern nations like Soviet Union, Russia, and China. You know, they're trying to fight them at that level. And others say that it has to do with kind of a economic warfare that even touches on our own shores, because the realities, the repercussions that come with this are yet to be fully felt. I mean, in the short term, everything's nice, going to the pumps and gassing up.
Yeah, we're enjoying it, but there's something coming, isn't there?
Well, yeah, basically, yeah, when you're 25% less than you were a month ago or so, then you're like, hey, this is not bad, right? But there's other repercussions. Now, I'm going to keep an open mind about it, but basically, I'll just say this about those. There's two more. I'll be looking closer at it over the course of the year, what they are sort of synchronizing with. But in a broad picture sense, again, the dates that they occur on are trigger points, as though they're hitting, pressure points in the meridian system. And they're really sending a strong message and a strong activation through the entire, body of humanity. In as simple as way I can say it.
So like a release of energy or a release of information or some kind of energetic release, if you think about so a lot of people know about the oh my gosh, what's the word? The needles. What is it? Oh my gosh, what is it called?
The
Why?
acupuncture.
Acupuncture. So similar to acupuncture, where you put a needle into the meridian point and it releases energy. This is similar. What you're saying is these lunar eclipses on these special dates are going to do that. They're going to trigger something. We're not sure what, but they are quite significant in.
We'd have to look at, you know what? I didn't get quite to looking at as closely at them. I know they're happening on these dates, these holy days, and I'm not a scholar or well versed in Hebrew philosophy and religious tradition, etc., to know specifically what they all imply.
But when they get closer, we will be able
I'll
to
be bringing light to the mess. Yes,
Okay.
and but most importantly, it's just that there's the fact that four in a row, which is quite rare, it's all a one in as basic a way as I can say it. They all are a feature, like their own sign of our times, which is at a peak point, and we're in sort of semi. Where every moment's new, of course, but in terms of cycles and so forth, yes, we're at the peak of the graph.
Okay, because we're in between the four.
In
Two
terms of
last year.
those the two, it's always with cycles, there's always activation so that the story is awakened, the drama plot, but the final ones are always the concluders. They bring it to resolution, whatever it was meant to do. It will kind of have done what it is here to do. So altogether, it's causing at worst a lot of, violent uprising and disturbance. It's very Kali-like. It's not easy, it's not pretty, and I don't expect it necessarily to be easier and prettier, actually, but I'd like to think that whatever it's meant to do, it'll do it and bring about some sort of positive breakthrough. But again, it's very important not to be too Pollyanna. I mean, I'm an optimist in at heart, and why, it's the only worthwhile way of looking at life, if you think about it, because otherwise you're in despair and cynicism. There's a rhyme and reason to it all, but we still have to engage, and so that's where other aspects of the entire, planetary alignments that have been brewing over the years and which are peaking this year is all about, is sort of the planets and how they are aspect and etc. They all represent sort of a map which we can read, which then we can realize occurs as synchronicities in the world. So the rarity of this tetrad is what's really coming to mind. It's the rarity of it in context to our timing and so forth. So we should and expect to see it coincide with some very dramatic events. So things in essence in 2015 are really coming to a peak, coming to the fore, and it's kind of like the Battle of the Five Armies, like in the Lord of the Hobbit movies. It's got that type of intensity, and there's going to be surprises, as is often shown in the Lord of the Rings quite brilliantly. I think the role of the hobbits, just to say this really quickly, is that the little people, the common person, the average unseen, unpopular, just the masses, shall we say, right? In the basic sense, the hobbits represent just the common people, right? But they, in the end, are the heroes. By virtue of
Just
being
being.
pure of heart.
Yes.
No big agenda, just purity of heart and, simple, not without heroism at all, but just, relatively simple willingness to make sacrifices as and when necessary. And when it's done, really, the key word would be, well, there's lots to be said about the quality of the few, but it becomes the attitude and norm of the many. Then it's really the new norm. And seeing that, even in the, in the internet, of course, even Facebook, people put out where they wouldn't have before, increasingly people are inspiring one another to put forward a lot of positive. And, increasingly, and it's an opportunity for, social censorship, like, thumbs up or thumbs down. So people know, hey, you better not be too, casual in negativity here, because you'll get lambasted.
Pretty
and
much.
In a way. It's a good thing, right?
Yeah. Okay, so on the opposite side of total lunar eclipses, we have some solar eclipses coming in 2015 as well. Is there anything we need to know about that, just to sort of balance it out?
It's really interesting to know that. Okay, so this is an interesting bit of a prelude to that quickly. There's been, right now, since October, we had a 0 degrees new moon. There's two critical degrees in astrology, basically, 0 and 29. It's more or less like the alpha and the omega.
Okay.
So we're still in the midst of 4 0-degree new moons. New moon in Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, and Aquarius yet to occur on about the 21st of this month. Okay, so 4 0-degree new moons. That itself, by the way, is a very strong indication of something brand new brewing right now. Very exciting. Now, what happens is also exciting is this year, there's two moons in Aquarius. One will happen at 0 degrees and one will happen at 29 degrees. And the second one, the 29th degree, which is on about the 18th of February, that's the day Chinese New Year begins, which we'll get back to in a moment. But why I'm saying all this is because it leads up to that in March, there's going to be on about almost exactly spring day, there's going to be, I think it happens on the 20th, there's going to be a solar eclipse in Pisces. And it happens at the 29th degree. So there's a whole lead up of really strong, interesting indications that there's something afoot. And it has a cosmic ground to it. It's rather important to understand that. It's like, again, a big game on one level. And but by destiny, we can say, we're at a point when a lot of synchronistic events, all these signposts are showing there's something new here, there's something new, and the 29th degree is a critical degree. It says, hey, this is really important. Now that points to Neptune. I'll say this quickly. The reason it does is because it's in Pisces. We say, okay, what's the ruling planet of Neptune? Now, it just so happens there's two. More traditionally, Jupiter, which we talked about, so hold that in mind. It'll activate Jupiter in Leo, which is, again, exciting and dramatic and brazen, but heroic. But on the other hand, it will activate Neptune. What's really important about that is that Neptune is itself in Pisces. That's where it belongs. And when you look at all the planets in signs, you can look at the plus and the minus. The plus of Neptune in Pisces is it's steadily giving birth to a new spirituality on planet. Now, Neptune entered Pisces in 2011, and it will be there until 2026. That's really important to consider. So it's big picture for a moment, but we get a sense of, okay, this is like going to be around for a while, right? Yes, that's right. And what does it mean? Well, positively, the birth of a new spirituality. Negatively, mass deception. That's the negative. And so the 29 degrees is it's critical. I personally believe 2008, 2015, excuse me, an 8 year, is a critical year. This is the year that is, we've heard it before and again in movies and in history. The tides will turn, or we're really going to be in a bad way. It's the year where the tides will, I believe positively, they will. We're going to see a lot of drama, a lot of talk, and it's going to get louder and louder. By the time autumn comes, it's going to be like really loud. I can pretty much assure you it's going to be peaking. And we're going to see that very strongly no later than September, but it will increase even and carry us into 2016. So, but basically, the first solar eclipse is a total solar eclipse at a critical degree in Pisces, awakening people to realize that the beauty and the power of Pisces is a great oneness. It's a grand unity like Sagittarius. It's a sort of a very much the ocean of consciousness, Pisces. So it sort of wants everybody to tune in to what's going on. Wake up in basic. And the danger is that we don't.
So, and it's also happening at spring, which is significant in the plants being reborn and the,
Yes.
the animals being born and a lot of things that are, it's like a rebirth. So it's very interesting that it's happening at that time as well.
And technically, by the way, yes, that's exactly right. It's on the exact last day of winter. It's exact, like it's so powerful and
Yeah.
beautiful. Like this is such a powerful year. It's happening on the last day of winter. So technically, the seasons, right, are demarcated by solstices and equinoxes, and the day after is spring equinox. So it's in winter has its own symbolism, et cetera, et cetera. Equinox can be paralleled to 6 a.m. or sort of the moment when the sun rises above the horizon and it's dawn, the break of dawn. Okay, that's what spring equinox represents. So this is sort of the dark just before the dawn. And so one can play on that in a variety of ways, but keeping it simple here, it's a very powerful indicator of the themes of Pisces, which at best are spiritual awakening and at worst denial.
So we only have a few minutes left, Michael. I have a number of other questions, but what would you like to end on? We will have you back for sure, and people can definitely learn more about how they can have their own readings done, which I highly recommend, and to sign up for your new moon newsletter. So let's, what would you like to finish with, do you think?
Okay, let's just look at a couple more basic points here. First of all, it's astrologically, yes, there's a lot of details and so forth to pay attention to. So keeping it really simple, the lunar nodes, okay, we've addressed that. Really, it's probably just good to kind of finalize on that, this Chinese New Year theme. It's interesting that this year, Chinese New Year begins on the very last day it can possibly begin. It just so happens, it kind of Chinese New Year is usually the second new moon in the new year, et cetera, right? And it just so happens this year it happens on the last degree of Aquarius. So it's another, so the Chinese New Year starts at 29 degrees Aquarius. So you have another synchronicity here. Of all this critical energy being activated, and it's called the wood sheep. Okay, the wood sheep. Wood's very growth oriented. Okay, so last year we saw a lot of new developments basically, and I mean new developments that are occurring all the time. But as far as the Chinese system goes, and I like to kind of tap into the numerology and the various systems just to get cross-referencing and different angles. So basically, we'll see, and each totem, when we think of, let's say, the sheep, it can seem very soft, but actually, the male sheep's a ram. Make no mistake of that. The sheep can appear soft and empathetic and sweet, and they certainly can be. And I know people who are born in that year and they do represent that, but make no mistake, when the time comes for them to, you know, exercise the Ram aspect of their nature, they can and will, and it's quite powerful. So it's an interesting play on things that the sheep is also the Ram. And so when we're talking about the wood sheep energy, and we can again touch on this Ram driving force of new growth, we should definitely expect that. And it again, that it coincides with the 8 year is just worth, you know, connecting the dots for the sake of understanding, okay, it's the a driving force of new growth and new activation, but which is representing a culmination of what's been going on for a long time. And what's been going on, and it's not always easy to understand, has been a silent war, really. And we can basically call it an information war. But if we look back over the 8 years and a little further, but specifically the last 7, 8 years in particular, and this one being the culminating year, we can see a lot of developments where there's been a lot of mischief, a lot of negativity, a lot of corruption, a lot of antics and behaviors that, you know, people are just, you know, in disbelief practically that things are being are occurring the way they're occurring. You know, there's what can be described as a significant amount of audacity in the world. It's audacious, and people are almost like can't even. It's literally to the point where they can't even believe it.
Yes,
You know, they're
happens
like,
quite often.
they're thinking, is this really happening? And that's the example of it's time to wake up. All the 0 degree new moons that we're currently in, and then followed right on their heels by 29 degree energy critical. So there's that alpha omega, and it's kind of bringing things to a full circle. So basically, we're seeing all the stage set with these 0 degree new moons, with these 29 degree activations, with the eclipse and the Chinese New Year. Then we have the last two of the tetrad, and we have the final phase of Uranus Pluto in their square aspect, agitating energy. And in the positive sense, once again, we've been seeing that the results of that in the most positive way, meaning people are coming forward and it's waking everybody up. So long and short, by the time 2015 is over, the degree of awakening will be much higher, exponentially higher, and it's going to stir drama and at worst fear. But it's a sort of an, you know, as would be the case when things come to a head, right? But it's a necessary time for us to come to the realization that to the extent that we're passive and to the extent that we just sort of think it's going to be okay and it'll all come to be a bright, sunny day tomorrow, sort of thing, without us making certain kinds of efforts, I think we're quite wrong. And I, in a very positive note here to conclude, I think in just the opposite, people will and are realizing that, hey, things are going on and it's time to, you know, exercise our humanity and what could be called our democracy. And I have a saying, you know, democracy, you don't get democracy, you do democracy. You must do something. And people say, what can I do? You know, and the answer is something.
That's a good point.
Yeah, something.
Just anything. Just do something.
Be aware, talk about it with your family,
Ask
chat with your
questions.
friends, ask questions, you know, be concerned, be interested, you know, just be sincere. It just begins with the heart, right? Be sincere, and be willing to say, hey, how can I make a contribution?
I've also heard, and this is something that I've been experiencing and have been saying to people as well. It's almost like going down a river that you don't expect to be in. You can either swim with the current and watch what's coming, so you don't hit that rock and you don't hit that log, or you can get dragged along and fight it the whole way. And what's going to be more beneficial to you in the long run is opening your eyes and looking at what's coming down the pipe instead of being, close your eyes and be fearful of the ride and getting dragged down the river. it's go with the flow and just be aware of your environment and what you're in. So
there you go. Get on board and be a part of it, because it's this is massively history in the making.
Yeah.
We're at a very, very important turning point, and I'm excited at the prospects. I believe fully that, you know, the tides can and will turn in a way where we, you know, people realize they have more voice than they might have assumed, and seeing that emerging steadily, and with, you know, the right attitudes and, you know, follow throughs this year, we'll see that. So it's going to be a very, very exciting year, 2015. Nothing boring at all.
No.
again, I think it's the year when, you know, honestly, where humanity begins in a much more obvious manner to take back its power.
Definitely.
That's what I'll vote for, and that's what I believe is going to occur, and I'll be doing everything I can in my power with my horoscopes and newsletters and my readings to make people aware and to awaken them and inspire.
Fabulous. Thank you, Michael, for being with us today. I, as always, learned a ton.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you have a wonderful day. Happy New Year. And I look forward to future correspondences over the course of the year.
Yeah, thank you, Michael.
Okay, Marielle, thank you. Wonderful day.
So to all of our listeners, you can reach Michael at sunstarastrology.com. Send him an email, and you can request a $20 coupon off of a future reading. Or for admission to one of his presentations that he does here in the Lower Mainland in British Columbia. And look forward to a book that he is writing. It is called What Astrology Can Do for You. And we will hear more about that in future episodes of Page and Sunstar Astrology Horoscopes. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Take some time to write some notes about what you heard today and what it means to you. Possibly what you might want to focus on each week in just becoming more aware of who you are and what's coming down the road. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. I'm Marielle, and until next time, have a fabulous day.